Jesus Christ came into the world to bear witness unto the truth. That's the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this verse-by-verse Bible study in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 18, so why don't we go to verse 1 right now? When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. So this brook Cedron, as it's called here in the New Testament, in the Old Testament you'll find it written with a K. It's called Kedron, sometimes K-E-D-R-O-N or K-I-D-R-O-N. So this was a valley. In fact, this was where David went over this valley barefoot. He was weeping while he was fleeing from Absalom. You'll find that in 2 Samuel chapter 15. So in the New Testament here, we find it talking about a garden. This is talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where the Lord was the night before he was crucified. So some very interesting things about this brook. This is where they would bring the unclean things, you know, when they would destroy idols and smash them and so on and so forth. This is where they would throw them. And when water was running through this valley, the water was very dark. It was almost like they called it a common sewer. So let me give you a couple of cross references just to give you a little light on what I'm talking about here. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 16, it says, "And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it to carry it abroad into the brook Kedron." 2 Chronicles 15, verse 16. "And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kedron." 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 14. "And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kedron." So we see here all of the unclean things, the idols, they would smash them and they'd bring them into this place. And they say at times this water, the water when it was flowing through this valley, it was very dark. As I said, it was like a sewer. And what would happen, they would use the soil very often when the brook was dried up. And that soil would be sold to the gardeners, and they would use that as dung when they were planting in their garden. So very interesting that the Lord was here with all the unclean things would be put in that valley. So isn't it interesting that the Garden of Gethsemane is found within that valley? You know, the Lord, the perfect sacrifice, you know, he took on the sins of the world. And we know that the Old Testament sacrifices, they're all done away with, folks. Christ paid the price in full. Let's go to verse 3 now. "Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons." This is a powerful verse here. If you take the time to study this, what took place. So here you have Judas. We know that Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus Christ. He made a deal. He made a deal with the devil. He made a deal with the religious Jews who wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. We know that he betrayed him with 30 pieces of silver. So at this point, Judas was running the show because he was the one who knew where Christ would resort to go and pray with his disciples. He knows. He was there. So he knew all about this place. And it says here that Judas received a band of men. Now, that word, if you do some study, you'll find all sorts of estimates on how many people that's talking about. You know, some will say 400, 500, and some will say even more. Some will say it's 1,000. But the point is that there were a ton of people, okay? And This group included officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees. And I'm going to show you here, I'm going to give you a cross-reference to show you that not only were the officers of the chief priests and Pharisees there, but the chief priests were there also. So let's go to Luke 22. Let's look at verses 52 and 53. It says, "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." So what was the Lord saying here? You know, here's this crowd. I mean, this had to be intimidating, folks, for the disciples. In the middle of the night, here they're coming with torches, and they're coming with weapons, and not a few people, folks. Hundreds of men are now coming, and obviously they're there to apprehend Jesus Christ himself. So that's why the Lord said, you know, he's talking to the religious Jewish people. So there's a reason he's doing this. He's dealing with them, folks. They rejected him. They wanted nothing to do with him. They refused the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he said to them, you know, well, why? What are you doing here? You're coming here as if I'm a thief. You know, you're coming here with your swords and so on. You're coming here with weapons. I was with you daily. I was teaching daily in the temple, and you didn't lay a finger on me. That's basically what he's saying. But then he says, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. So he's telling his own people, his own Jewish people, the leaders, the chief priests, this is the power of darkness at work. He knew what was coming. He knew he was going to the cross. And that's why he said that. So let's go to verse 4. "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground." Now this is some good stuff, folks. Don't miss this. Some good stuff. You want to get what's being said here. So what took place here, ladies and gentlemen, was a demonstration of the power of Almighty God. You know, people have attempted, you know, to soft soap what actually took place here to no avail, ladies and gentlemen. What took place here was Jesus was letting them know. These are the people who are opposing him. These are the religious Jews. These are the Pharisees. These are the chief priests. So all of these men, this band of men, including Judas Iscariot, when Jesus said, I am he, they all fell backward. They went backward like bowling pins in a bowling alley. That is exactly what took place. The Lord was letting them see, letting them taste his power. That's what took place. He knew he was going to go to the cross, but at the same time, this is what took place here, ladies and gentlemen. He said, I am he. Now, if you look in the King James, you'll notice the word he is in italics. They use that to emphasize what's said before. I like just, if they would have just left it, I am. Why? I'm going to show you why, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to the book of Exodus, and you remember when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, and he saw this bush burning, and he said, you know, what's this going on over here? And he started to walk toward a bush, wanted to investigate, because the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. So I'll pick it up in Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And the voice from the bush is talking to Moses. It says, "And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So is that not interesting? You know, here's his voice talking out of a bush that's burning. And the closer Moses got to that bush, he got to the point that a voice spoke and said, stop right where you are. Take those shoes off your feet, for where you are standing is holy ground. My, oh my, isn't that awesome? What did Moses do? He hid his face. It says he was afraid to look upon God. So God was there, folks. Don't miss this. So let's pick it up in that same chapter, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to go to verses 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, so he's talking to God who's in the burning bush, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am, that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. So the Lord gave the name to Moses. He says, this is what I want you to tell them. Okay, you tell them, I am sent me unto you. Don't miss this now. So let's go now to the New Testament book of John, which we're studying, John chapter 8. We learned this before. Let's go to verses 56 to 59. Your father, this is Jesus talking, by the way. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So, what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the Jewish people who rejected him, and he says, listen, guys, before Abraham was, I am. So, I want to tell you something. Right here, Jesus Christ is the I am. Jesus Christ is the same one who spoke out of the burning bush to Moses. Don't ever forget that. We're talking deity here, ladies and gentlemen, once again. I want to get you interested in this teaching on the deity of Jesus Christ. He's not just a man. Keep in mind that the majority of the Jewish people today still reject Christ. It's laughable. It's a laughing thing that you would dare to say that he's Almighty God. But here it is. Christ is identifying himself as I am. There's only one I am, folks. So don't miss this. And that's exactly what took place. So when they went down, folks, when he said I am, and the band of men fell backwards, they all fell down. They all down they went, folks. We're talking about the power of Almighty God. God could have killed every one of them right then and there if he wanted to. Oh, yes. That's the power of Almighty God. So now that we settled that, let's move on. Let's go to verse 7. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I've told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. So the Lord, first of all, the Lord knew that his disciples, they were going to desert him. But yet he loved them at the same time. Oh, yes. So it says here that the same might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. So if you go to John chapter 17, verse 12, we studied that the last time around. Remember, Jesus said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So we know that's talking about Judas. So the Lord is keeping him. He's preserving his people. Even though they take off on him, he knows what is going to happen. He knows he's going to be killed, but he also knows he's going to rise again from the dead. So Psalm 41, verse 9, it tells us, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." So that was a prophecy regarding Judas, that he would turn on him. He ate of the bread. Remember, the Lord says, you know, when the disciples asked him, who is it that would betray? He says, the one who dips the sop, or the piece of bread, basically at the same time I'm doing it. So it's talking about Judas. So the Lord kept his people, but Judas chose to betray Christ. Bad move on his part. So let's go to verse 10 now. It says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus." So if you try to get a glimpse of what was going on here, folks, things probably got out of hand very quickly. So now you got this crowd of men, this band of men. They came with torches and they came with weapons. So now basically the disciples were on the verge of panic mode here. And Peter had a sword and he took a swing at a man named Malchus and cut his ear off. You know, so, you know, if you try to picture what happened, you know, remember, Peter didn't just walk up to the man and start slicing his ear off. I believe he took a swing at his head. That's what I believe. And the guy ducked and he caught his ear. That's what I think. Unless he swung vertically, I mean, that's a possibility too. But I think it would be more of a swing where the guy ducked. But we don't, you know, this is all speculation here. But the bottom line is that the guy's ear was cut off. And then verse 11, it says, "Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" So we see that the Lord gave a taste of his almighty power when all the men fell backwards, including Judas. And now Peter, by impulse, you know, he thinks he's doing the right thing and protecting the Lord. And he takes a swing to this guy and the guy's ear is cut off. But the Lord basically rebuked him and said, put your sword back in that sheath, okay? So I want you to see here that another miracle took place. You don't see it here in John, but I'm going to quote to you and give you a cross-reference from Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 51. It says, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." That was Malchus. "And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him." Now, this is powerful. So, folks, we already had the miracle of all the men falling backwards. So here's a second miracle that took place right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter took a wild swing at this man. He cuts off his ear. And the Lord says, suffer ye, or allow this to take place. Allow it. He knew what was going on. The Lord knew it was the power of darkness. Satan was having a field day at this point in time, but the Lord was allowing it, okay? He had the power, but he was allowing it. And look what takes place. It says he touched his ear and healed him. Now, folks, when you cut somebody's ear off in a violent manner with a sword, there has to be blood. Now, come on. There has to be blood spilling on the ground. There had to be some screaming going on here, some yelling going on here. And look at how Jesus calmly says, okay, allow this. And he goes, look at the love of God here. He goes up to his enemies and he touches his ear and the guy's ear is healed. Now, you would think that everybody would just say, stop the clock here, you know, something, this guy has power. But it didn't happen. You see the blindness? This is spiritual blindness. The band of men came for Christ. They were determined to bring him down. And that's it. Bottom line. So Judas had a plan. You know, he greeted the Lord with a kiss. You know, if you study the word in the other gospel accounts, you'll see that Judas told the chief priest and everybody else, look, the guy who I kiss, the one I kiss, that's him. Grab him. When I kiss him, grab him. So it's heartbreaking when you see what Judas did. He turned away from the Lord, died in his sins, ended up in hell, folks, for eternity. It's super sad. This is a man that walked with the Lord just like the other disciples. So let's go now to verse 12. It says, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. So he's the man that prophesied basically one man would die for the people, but he really didn't even understand what he was saying. But in fact, it was true because Christ died for the people. So verse 15, it says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without or outside. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel, or young lady, that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. So the other disciple, they believe, the commentators believe, they were talking about John. Okay, so the high priest knew John. We don't know how that he knew John, but it just tells us that he knew John. So he obviously spoke to this young lady at the door and, you know, saying, let him in. And so in comes Peter. Immediately, the young lady, she says, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Now, this damsel, we don't know what she said to the one who opened the door, probably John, as we say. Maybe she said, are you his disciples? But he was there, and he was asked the question, but he denied that he was a disciple of Christ. So here's the first denial by Peter. Remember, the Lord said, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. So very interesting stuff. Let's go to verse 18. It says, and the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why asketh thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. So this is very interesting. So we have here the high priest. He's going to interrogate Jesus, and he's asking him about his teachings. So basically the Lord said to him, look, you know, I was there. I spoke openly. I was in a synagogue, in the temple. I'm teaching. I didn't hide anything. I did nothing in secret. So, you know, why don't you ask those who heard me? They know what I said. They know exactly what I said. They know exactly what I preached to them. They were there. So I like the way the Lord does this, because he's holding the people accountable. He knows what the deal is. He knows exactly what was going on here, and shows you, ladies and gentlemen, that you are accountable. You know, we're all accountable. So that's why he did what he did. Verse 22, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? So when the Lord spoke that way, when he said, look, why don't you ask them, the religious Jews, they were put out. they were insulted that he would talk to the high priest that way. Are you going to talk to him that way? And they smacked Jesus right across the face. Can you imagine this? So Jesus continued to simply state the truth. And that's why he says, if I've spoken evil, you know, show me, bear witness of the evil. But if well, you know, if I'm speaking well here, I'm speaking the truth, well, why smitest thou me? Why did you hit me? I'm telling the truth to you guys, and I want to know why you smacked me. So that I love the way the Lord deals with each of these situations. It says, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. So here we have the second denial by Peter, 2 out of 3, that he denied knowing the Lord. Verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So there's the third denial by Peter of knowing Christ. And this is what the Lord told Peter would happen. So it's a very heartbreaking thing to read in the scriptures. Let me just give you a glimpse from another gospel account from Luke chapter 22. Let's look at verses 59 to 61. It says, and about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, or 3 times. So this had to be devastating for Peter. When the chips were down, here he is in the middle of the situation, and he had the opportunity to affirm that he was a disciple of Christ. But the overwhelming fear that came upon him, that this was the power of darkness, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord spoke about. So here's Peter saying, I don't know him, 3 different times. And when that cock crowed, ladies and gentlemen, it set off the memory bell in Peter. And then there's the Lord. And when that happened, the Lord looked upon Peter. The Lord, you can see probably the look upon the Lord's face was nothing but sorrow and heartbreak. And you're not going to be, it's not a stern look that the Lord is giving Peter. So here's Peter, and we know that ultimately Peter was restored, but it's heartbreaking when you look at it. So John 18 and 28, it says, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So the judgment hall, sometimes it was called the common hall, and that's where the Roman proctor, the Roman governor, they would hear the cases and that so on and so forth. But some didn't go in because they believed, you know, this is, you know, the Roman office, and this is unclean. They didn't want to touch anything unclean because of the Feast of Passover. Now, we know that the Passover meal was already separated, so it's probably regarding the feast that followed the Passover. So they didn't want to go in, so that's why they did not go in. They thought they might be defiling themselves. So verse 29, it says, Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. So if you take a look at this folks, here's Pilate saying, you know, what's this guy accused of? What's the problem that you have? What accusation do you have against this man, Jesus? Tell us. So, but you notice they didn't state a specific crime, which is interesting. They spoke generally. So basically, Pilate said, look, you go ahead and judge him according to your own law. So they're telling him now, we cannot legally put him to death. So Jesus knew that they were going to kill him, but it was for a purpose. If you look in John chapter 12, verse 32, if you remember, the Lord said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So the cross that he's about to endure, ladies and gentlemen, that is the very center of the gospel. John chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So keep in mind, folks, that the Lord is moving toward that cross, and he's doing it willingly for the joy that was set before him. Oh, yes. So he's going to the cross, folks, and he's doing that for us. He's enduring this suffering, this ridicule, this persecution, this hatred from the religious Jewish people. The crowd wanted nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't forget that. Let's go to verse 33. It says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? So once again, I love the way the Lord deals with this. You know, here's Pilate saying, are you the king of the Jews? So basically, Jesus is saying, you know, where are you getting this from? Is it from your own thinking, your own self? Or was this something in your own heart? Or did others tell it thee of me? So the Lord, once again, he's holding the religious Jews accountable. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew why Pilate said what he said. So, we know that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But the religious Jewish people said no. Well, no, we don't believe that. We don't want anything to do with you. So verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So there we have Pilate talking, saying, look, am I a Jew? Look, I'm not a Jew. Your own people are the ones who brought you here. Well, what have you done? So now the Lord shows this man, he says, look, my kingdom is not of this world. We know, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we've been born again of the Spirit. We have an understanding of what the kingdom of God is about, the kingdom of heaven, okay? We have an understanding how, by the Spirit of the living God, the new birth. We understand these things. So when you know the Lord, you know that his kingdom is not of this world. So that this is what the Lord is saying. Look, otherwise my servants would be here with weapons trying to keep me away from trouble. But he says, no, my kingdom is not of this world. So let's go now to verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should be a witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So, the Lord told Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. So now Pilate turns it around and says, look, are you a king? Are you a king then? So basically the Lord says, look, you said I'm a king. and he is a king. And this is why I was born. He says, I came into the world for this reason. What is the reason? That I should be a witness unto the truth. Remember in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So here he says, the reason I'm coming into this world is to testify, is to witness unto the truth. Now listen, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So, we live in a day, folks, where people talk about their own religion, their own way. People say, oh, well, I'm a person of faith, but they don't believe in Jesus. Okay? So let's settle the issue right here, folks. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Heareth my voice. Whose voice? Whose voice are they hearing? The voice of Jesus Christ. So if you're of the truth, if you want to know if you're walking in truth, folks, you're going to listen to Christ. Okay, there's no other way. So all the religions throughout the world, all the belief systems that are not based upon the truth that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's a lie. There's only one way, folks. So here we're talking about Christ. He says, I came into the world to bear witness unto the truth. So if you miss this, you miss salvation. You miss this, you miss heaven. Don't ever forget that. So let's go verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Powerful. I find in him no fault at all. So Pilate, the one who's judging this man called Jesus Christ, he says, what is truth? Isn't that a great question? Well, what is truth, he's saying. And when he said this, he goes to the Jews and says, look, I don't find anything wrong with this guy. I find in him no fault at all. Remember, we were talking about the Lamb of God, so how they would sacrifice the lamb, and that lamb had to be unblemished. So here is Pilate examining the Lamb of God. He finds no fault in him. He was not guilty. He was innocent. He's the unblemished lamb because of his sinlessness, folks. This is why Christ is the only way. This is why the sacrifice of Christ is so important, the blood of Jesus Christ. Without that blood, you're still in your own sins. You will die in your sins. Oh, yes. So when we take a look at verse 39, it says, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. So, Pilate had a choice to make, folks. He could have set this man, Jesus Christ, free. Oh, yes. But the intimidation from the religious Jewish crowd smothered him. I mean, here he is. He says, look, there's a custom. It doesn't really go into much in the scriptures where we can learn about the custom, but we know enough here that they will set free one at the Passover. They could have said, okay, we'll set Jesus free. We'll set him free. And notice that Pilate called Jesus the King of the Jews. This man knew more than you think he did. And he was trying to wiggle his way out of this and saying, look, who do you want to set free? And what did they do? They cried again. Not this man. Don't let this Jesus go free. But Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. So think about that for a few seconds, ladies and gentlemen. That here's Christ. Here's Pilate saying, if I no fault in him. Can you imagine this? No fault. Imagine standing before a judge. They're bringing charges, and the judge says, I don't find anything wrong here. He's not guilty. And yet, that same man, now put in a position, and they're telling him, look, Don't let him go free. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. My, oh, my. So I'm going to end it right there here in John chapter 18. So next time around, we'll be in John chapter 19. You guys be blessed and have a great day.